This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Sean?
Let's talk today about trail etiquette, I guess.
Okay. And by trail etiquette, you mean the do's and don'ts while we're on the trail.
Yeah.
Not like necessarily at camp.
Right, exactly. So, like, you and I have talked about, like, you know, when we first got into this, I remember us talking about, like, we don't really know what all the rules were, right?
I mean, right.
Like, okay, it's all well, fine, and good to just go out into the woods and go for a walk. But then it's like, as you're coming upon other people, what are some of the, like, courtesy type rules? And,
right,
like, who has the right of way? And what do you do in this scenario?
So, right. Because when we first started, and this was even when we were on our practice hikes, you would come up to people and, you know, there's times where the trail is literally a footstep width. And
right,
so you've got to figure out, you come up on people that are coming in the opposite direction as you. So you've got to figure out who's going to get off the trail to let the other ones pass.
Well, right. And then we've said before, we're in Michigan, so we got, like, Midwestern nice, right? So I remember a couple of times where it was like, okay, we're coming upon some other people and, like, all of us just get off the trail. So then it's like,
right.
who gets to go first, right? Like, what is the rules? And I think that's why you and I first started looking into, like, okay, what is the actual rules? Like,
right,
somebody has, we're all making this up as we go, I get that, but, like, somebody's come up with, like, rules, right?
Yeah, well, and they're just unwritten rules. They're not, like, law or anything like that. They're unwritten, just etiquette, like, how to be nice and keep things cordial on the trail.
Well, for sure. But, I mean, if there is, like, a general guideline to go by,
yeah,
it makes it easier if we're all kind of following the same general guideline, right? Because then you don't run into that stalemate like you and I did, where it's like, okay, we all stepped off the trail. No, you go ahead. No, it's okay. You go ahead. No, I insist. You go ahead. You know, like, it gets rid of some of that sort of stuff. If you know some of the general guidelines that everybody is following. And then I remember we got into, like, so that was just on regular hiking trails. And then we were going on trails that were, like, shared use trails. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know nothing about shared use trails. Like, who gets to go first in that situation? So I thought we could talk about some of that sort of stuff. And, like, then just, like, the general topic of things that surround that, you know, because that kind of, like everything else we talk about, it gets into other somewhat related topics. And I thought we could just kind of go over some just general, make it nice for everybody rules that we have learned along the way.
Okay. I'm on board. I like that topic because we have encountered situations where you and I didn't know the right thing to do. And then we encountered situations where we thought we knew what were the right things to do. And it wasn't necessarily the things that transpired. So we looked it up when we got back and we're like, okay, we were more on the right side of of things, and I'm using air quotes on that, like, we're on the right side of things, but, like, there's really no right and wrong. It's just how things transpire and how you can just help, like I said, keep things more cordial.
Right. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start? We've kind of already gotten into it, but do you want to start on just, like, the right-of-way type rules that we've learned?
Yeah, start with that. You're coming up to a group or a couple of hikers that are coming in the opposite direction. And who's got the right-of-way, Sean?
So if you're coming up to a group that's going in the opposite direction of you, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I still don't have all this exactly memorized, but my understanding is if there is a hill involved, so somebody's coming towards you, and let's say you and I are walking downhill, okay, and there's a group of people coming at us going uphill, then the people going uphill have right of way, right?
Yes. Uphill hikers have the right of way, as it takes more momentum. It's more difficult to get the momentum to keep going uphill.
Right.
It's harder to stop and get going again.
Right.
So it's nicer to give them the right of way, as long as it's safe for you to get off the trail. If it's safer for them to get off the trail, then let them get off the trail so you can pass by making sure everybody's safe. That's the key thing, is like, whoever's got the safest spot to get off the trail, no matter, like, if it's level ground, whoever's got the safest spot, they get off the trail, or should. It doesn't always transpire that way. Some people are just huffing, going through, not paying attention, or not, they may not know. So you end up just letting them pass, but whoever's got the safest and the area that will do the least amount of damage to nature.
Right. So, which kind of leads into the next point. So, like, if you're on flat ground, let's say, then the rule of thumb that you and I follow, and I think this is right, I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the general rule of thumb is, like, if you're coming up to people on flat ground, they're coming towards you, you're going towards them, then that next rule of thumb is whatever group is the bigger group gets right of way, right? And that's, that kind of goes to what you were saying, like, least impact to nature, the smaller group can get off the path just a skosh, and then theoretically that impacts nature less because you got maybe two people getting off the trail versus 10 people getting off the trail, right?
Right.
I think that's kind of the thought behind that.
Right. If it's a 2-2 or a 2-3, then you just kind of do your rock, scissor, paper.
it goes back to who's got an easier spot to get off, right? Like, right. I mean, if somebody's, if you're walking along a cliff, right, and the people on the one side, the people coming at you, for them to get off, which I understand you can kind of go off. We go by, like, same rules of as, like, you if you were driving. So, like, people going one way, you get off to the right. People coming the other way, they get off to their right. So if there's a cliff on their right, well, you're not going to make them get off the trail on their right. You know what I mean? Like, it's that sort of stuff. So whoever's got the easier time to get off, or a better spot to get off, that's kind of the general rule of thumb.
Yeah. If you notice somebody is struggling and they want to keep the momentum, just let them keep going. If you're doing fine and all that stuff, let them keep moving, because it's going to take them a lot longer to get the oomph to get going again.
Yeah, so, for sure. Like, if you notice anybody struggling, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just common courtesy. Like, if somebody is really out there dying, then you want to let them, like, okay, don't interrupt their stride. Let them get on past, for sure. Okay, so then that brings me to, what if you're coming up behind people and you're going in the same way, same direction, but they're just going a lot slower than you want to go? What's the rule there?
That really hasn't happened to us in practice.
I beg to differ.
Has it? Okay.
Do you not remember me getting scared out of my mind when those people came up behind me?
All right. Okay.
We were the slow people.
We were the slow people. That's right. We haven't come up to the people. Okay. That's right. Yeah. They announced their presence in my opinion, maybe a little too late because it was right behind us. Sean may have needed to change his underpants.
I darn near had to change my underpants. These people, we were up hiking in Pictured Rocks, and Mike and I, that was this year, wasn't it? We weren't even dying that bad.
No.
But we're, you know, we're like huffing and puffing because, you know, we're not in the best shape. We're huffing and puffing. We're kind of shooting the shit.
We were just moving along and doing our thing.
We were moving along. I thought we were doing a fine clip. But then these people that had, they were like, they must have been day hikers. They were running. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were, well, jogging, running, whatever. And
it's jogging.
Mike and I don't know if we were just not paying attention. I don't know if they were just being sneaky. I don't know what happened. But the next thing I know, this lady is behind me yelling on your left. Not yelling, but like announcing herself and like, hey, I'm going to pass you. I jumped out of my skin. She startled me so bad. Like, because you're watching for people in front of you, but you're not watching for people behind you all the time.
In the backcountry, you're not necessarily expecting runners.
Right.
Like...
Well, and I think it had been a good bit since we had come across any other people, too. We were in, like, a pretty remote section, not the quote-unquote pretty part of the trail. So it had been a minute since we saw – oh, my gosh. My heart rate just got going just thinking about it.
So
she was so embarrassed when she saw how bad she scared me. God, that was funny.
So to answer the question, though, I think they did the right thing. They announced their presence.
Yeah.
If you're hiking, you just say, hey, we're coming up on you. Do you mind if we get around you? And so that the party in front of you that isn't – I mean, you don't have a rearview mirror or anything. So
right.
They can at least know you're back there and know that you caught up. They caught up to you. So you can get off to the side of the trail and let them pass. It's going to take 15 seconds at the most.
Right. Right.
You can get back going. So it's nicer to just let them get going. It'll be a couple minutes and you won't even see them again. So
yeah,
I
remember when those people passed us just saying, talking about the never see them again, like they passed us and went around a corner and we never saw them again.
And they,
like,
it was
the creepiest thing. How quickly you get enveloped by the woods and can't see people in front of you.
Yeah, it was, didn't hear them coming. I mean, it's not like we're hiking with earbuds in or anything like that. We're out there, and, like, they had the quietest running footsteps. Because normally hear something.
But. Even you and I, like, you and I shoot the shit while we're out there, but, you know, we've talked before. We go on, like, these four-day hikes. By, like, day two or three, it ain't like we're chatting up a storm because I've kind of ran out of things to talk to you about.
We usually run out of things on the drive to the trailhead.
So I don't even think you and I were chatting and not hearing them. We must have just had like our heads down and just been trucking along.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not saying getting through it because I like the experience of the actual hike. We were in it. We were in nature and just enveloped by it. And just both of us just got into it and just lost sense of everything else around us, you know. So a bear could have snuck up on us and just
so that's kind of like the rules. I mean, just the general guidelines for if you come across people that are hiking. But then, like I said at the beginning of this, we also find ourselves on shared use trails.
And by shared use, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so shared use, so that's going to be like you're sharing the trail, so it's good for hikers, but then it's also good for sometimes mountain bikers, sometimes people on horseback. Theoretically, also could apply, if you're hiking in the winter, people on cross-country skis.
Snowshoes.
Snowshoes. So like shared use meaning not a trail that is only for hikers.
Still non-motorized use, but I mean, so we've been on side by or like two tracks at times too, where you're on like somewhere a side by side or a small pickup could be
normally,
on or something like that.
In my head, as I was talking about it, I was thinking non-motorized, but you're right. We have been on two tracks before.
Yep.
Like some of the North Country Trail does go down two track type trails where you can
have
side by side.
It also goes down some highways.
It also goes down some highways. Exactly. I mean, you would think that the pedestrians would have right of way on a highway, but turns out I don't think that the cars believe that. So please
the be yellow careful. Ones don't stop.
Right. But yeah, so like on your shared use, turns out there's like actual rules about that too, which I'll be honest, I did not know until we looked it up, because I kind of always thought that hikers or people on foot always had the right of way.
Now, so this is not part of my research, so let me see if I get this right.
Okay.
My assumption, after you saying that hikers don't have the right of way, my assumption is the slower traffic yields to the faster traffic. So, like, if they're on mountain bikes trying to go 10 mile an hour, whatever they're going in the woods, they would have the right of way towards somebody jogging versus somebody hiking. Like, so the faster you're going is the right of way?
So that is not the answer that I found.
Okay. So that was my assumption. Well, so I'm wrong. That wasn't part of my research. So.
And I'll be honest with you, the couple of places that I looked, it was kind of confusing. So most places that I found generally said most times that hikers have the right of way. And okay. The one exception that I found to that was, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but this is the answer that I found, was that the people that supersede hikers are people on horseback. And the way, if I understood what I was reading correctly, and I'm opening space for me to be wrong in my interpretation, but the way that I understood it was basically you don't want to spook the horse.
Fair.
Which I do agree with.
Nobody wants to get kicked by a horse.
Nobody wants to get kicked by a horse. So that's basically, they were saying, if I understood it correctly, you are to move out of the way for people on horseback and be calm and quiet so as not to spook the horse and endanger the rider of the horse.
Okay.
And that is different than a bicycle, because you're not going to spook a bicycle, right? Is how I kind of understood that. Like, and I don't think most horses that are out in that sort of environment are probably super easily spooked, but I agree, you don't want to spook a horse. So, right.
So I guess that, in my opinion, after hearing that, because I thought you were saying originally that the backpackers or hikers don't have the right of way, but so what I'm hearing then is the backpackers have the right of way because, A, you don't have rear-view mirrors, you may not be able to hear a bicycle coming up on you or something along those lines, so they have to yield to you. It would be courteous of you to let them, let faster-moving traffic move forward. But you have the right of way, but it would be nice of you to get off, let them go around.
So I guess I'm interpreting it different. So yes, a hiker does have the right of way over a cyclist. In that it is up to the cyclist to announce themselves and ask you to let them by.
Yeah,
like they can't overtake you and they can do whatever they want. Let's be honest, but like they shouldn't just hog the trail and like kick you in the mud as they ride by, but it's up to them to kind of announce their presence and wait for a spot to pass you where you can safely get off the trail.
Yeah. Well, at the same time then too, though, I think that would be the responsibility of somebody on horseback. Granted, you are probably going to notice that a horse is not as light footed as a hiker or a bicyclists, things that don't make much noise. Horses are heavy and they make a lot of noise when they walk, typically. So,
I don't know how easy a horse could get off the trail. Depending on how wide the horse is.
But I would assume the rider would, make some kind of a noise, like a whoa or something like that, to slow down something. So you would know that they're back there. You'd turn around, see this horse, get the hell out of the way.
So, yeah. I mean, I give you credit. If I'm coming upon you and your horse and I don't hear the horse, I guess I give you credit for...
Right, right, yeah. Well, and I'm thinking, so maybe you and I are talking about two different things, though, too. Is like, are you talking we're going east and they're coming west on the trail, and so we're coming face-to-face? Or are you I'm thinking people, like, coming up behind us. Because that's an overtaking situation. That's like, I can't see you. You have to announce that you're there. That's always the responsibility of the party behind you,
right?
To announce and to ask to overtake.
Yeah, I think that's true. I am agreeing with you that it is the person behind to announce themselves and make their presence known. I just think it puts when I'm talking about right of way, I guess I'm just saying like if it's horses coming up behind you, my understanding is that horses or horseback riders have the right of way. So it is, the responsibility falls on the hiker to find the fastest spot to move off to the side to allow the horse to go by.
Yeah.
Whereas sure. With a cyclist, it is the hiker has the right of way. So It is kind of you to let the cyclist by, but it's really more like less urgent, I guess, is the way I'm having right. It in my head.
Yeah. And I believe the word you're looking for is the equestrian.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I assume that's the right word, but I don't really know what that word means. So.
Yeah, true. I
was trying not to use it too much because I'm not positive I'm using it correctly. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's how it is. Don't even get me started with that. But I think that's how I'm framing it in my head is like, how urgently do you need to get out of the way?
Right. Okay. So I think of right of way as more or less, this is my rights, this is America. type of a thing,
right?
like you've not necessarily you have more of a right to be there, but like you should have the kindness or the ability to go around rather than the other person. Like you've got. I don't know how to explain it. Oh,
like
it.
you're saying like the cyclist has to wait for an opportunity to pass, where like if you're right. Hiking, you don't even have to get over. It's up to the cyclist to wait for their opportunity to pass.
Right.
Maybe that is how that's supposed to be read. Maybe I'm reading it wrong.
So that's the way I interpret right of way is just that I've got the right to be there. And if I've got the right of way over a cyclist, I can just go on my merry way. Would I do that? No, I would. If I can get off the trail, I will get off the trail and let them around me.
Sure.
But if it's not a safe spot for me to pass and I'm going along the trail, then they're just going to have to get off their bike and walk along with me.
Okay. But then that gets into, and I know you're not trying to segue, but that kind of gets right into the next topic though, where they don't really want you getting off the path. So maybe right where, you know, part of trail etiquette, right, or part of hiking etiquette in general is least impact on nature, right? So
right.
You're probably interpreting it more correctly than I am, where they really don't want you getting off the trail. Like, the trail is there for a reason. So right. Maybe that is how you're supposed to read that, where it is up to the cyclist to wait for an opportunity to pass you.
To wait for a two-track or something right. Wide enough to get around.
Right.
We all know there's usually a tree in the middle of a trail somewhere, so it splits because, you know, one side's muddy and the other side's not.
Yep.
So,
Which, again, just to remind people that haven't listened to previous episodes, you're supposed to walk through the mud. You're not supposed to widen the trail.
Don't widen the trail. Walk through the mud. If you're doing it right, you've got waterproof boots anyway, and you're not... You're out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Get bunny. But yeah. So anywho, they maybe wait for one of those opportunities or something for the path to widen a little bit to safely pass. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's more or less my interpretation of things. If they're coming at you and you're going in opposite directions,
let me just squeeze right past you here and grab the ranch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. Let me just squeeze right past you.
I mean, you've got to do what you got to do. Realistically, I guess I'm not going to say realistically. Depending on the trails that you are on, it may happen more often than not. The trails that you and I have been on, it has never been an issue.
Right.
I
mean, there's always room to just kind of scooch to one side.
Right.
I can't say always. On the ones that you and I have been on.
Well, pictured rocks, there was some cliffside clench moments of if there was somebody coming, it would have been who's getting out of the way here.
Right.
But it hadn't happened at that point. Those are the more off the beaten path parts of out of the actual touristy area of pictured rocks.
Right.
That happened. So you run into a lot fewer hikers. Right. And I'm sure it happens. And you just, I mean, but there's spots where the trail is like 4 inches wide, like the footpath part of it, not saying the back, you know.
Yeah.
But the footpath part of the trail is like 4 inches wide, and you've got trees and other crap right along to the right of you, and the left of you is just a sheer drop off down to rocks and death. So.
Well, and that's, I mean, even any of these rules that we've talked about, right? Like, they're just general guidelines. Like you said, nobody's coming up to arrest you if you don't follow them exactly. And at the end of the day, be courteous to other users, right? Like, I mean, we all want to use and enjoy these trails. So let's all get along.
And don't be the person, like, if you're just out on this trail and you can safely get out of the way of a mountain biker, don't just like, nope, it's my right of way to be here, blah, blah, blah. Right. And like, just keep walking in front of them. If you can safely get out of the way, get out of the way and let them go enjoy the trail too.
I mean, I don't think either one of us is saying jump off into this patch of poison ivy to let somebody go by.
Right.
You know, like, we're not saying that by any means, but you know, let's all use these trails and let's all get Look along at these and
tick infested ferns. Let me just get off the trail here.
I know. But then back to what else we were saying, though, like part of trail etiquette is keeping the trail nice, not just sharing it with other users, but part of it is keeping the trail nice. So you're not wanting to unnecessarily widen the trail. You're not wanting to do damage to the nature around the trail. Like, walk on the path, you know?
Right.
We keep saying get off to one side or get off just a skosh and let people by. But, I mean, realistically, they don't really want you leaving the trail if you don't have to.
Right.
Because that does damage nature and impact it more than we need to. So, part of trail etiquette is stay on the trail.
Right. Well, I mean, that goes back to the dispersed camping. That goes back to all of that kind of stuff. The less impact you have on the environment, the better.
Right.
So
speaking of impact on the environment, do you want to do, let's talk a minute about, I mean, you and I talked a little bit earlier when we said we'd like to shoot the shit out on the trail, but like, do you want to talk about music and stuff on the trail and how that's supposed to be handled? Because I know you and I have talked about wanting to take little Bluetooth speakers and...
Yeah, and we do. Like, we have one that we take for our campsite, and we will use that at a, as Milton from Office Space would say, at a reasonable volume. we put some music on or whatever just for the trip or for campfire or whatever. Now, if it's a communal fire pit, if it's right along a trail, or we've got other campsites right next to us, we'll leave it off. But
which we haven't really, I mean, realistically, reasonable volume, right? I mean, I think you said that a minute ago. Like, we listen to it at, realistically,
we're not turning it up to
as quiet as we can listen to it where there is still sound coming out.
Right. And so we can hear it by our fire pit or by our tents, wherever we're sitting.
Right.
We can hear it, and we know nobody else can.
Right.
for while you're hiking.
I mean, that we've was passed one, those people that listen to it while they're hiking.
Yep, we have. It doesn't bother me. It bothers some people. So I
will say it doesn't bother me, but
right.
Our experience with it has been people that are like-minded like we are, where it is only loud enough for them to hear it on their person, right? Like normally it's somebody right. with it clipped to their backpack and you can hear it as they pass you, but you can't hear it until they're passing you.
Right. Until they get within like 10 feet. Then right. you can hear it, and then they pass, and then they're gone, and you can't hear it anymore.
I think if I could hear them a half a mile away, I feel right. like I would be annoyed by that.
Yeah. Well, so I'm thinking more like earbuds and stuff like that. I don't think that that is a responsible way to hike, because you are eliminating any kind of outdoor or exterior surrounding noise.
Whether you're saying with earbuds you don't think is a...
Yeah, because even if you have transparency turned on, you've got the music on, you're not hearing random crunches and things like that, or the hay on your left, you know. Yeah. So I think earbuds, my personal opinion is I won't hike with earbuds in.
No, I don't hike with them in either, although I kind of feel like if you want to, go right ahead, as long as you're, like you're saying... As long as you're not totally cutting off the outside world, right?
Right.
As long as you could hear me say, pardon me on your left, or something right. of that nature, I think I don't care. I mean, if you don't want to hear nature, don't hear nature. I don't care.
Well, yeah. Like, I'm saying, in my opinion, I wouldn't do it. I have a tendency when I wear my AirPods that I'm going to turn it up to 11 because I love loud music, so... Yeah. I'm partially deaf, so but I'm also
years of being in a band.
Yeah, that'll do it. And being young and stupid and not wearing earplugs, but I personally want to be out in nature. And when I'm out there, I enjoy the quiet. I have tinnitus, and I have a ringing in my ears, but it goes along with the crickets chirping. It goes along with nature, so I don't hear it when I'm out there. So it's just nice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I like listening to nature. Like yeah. I want to hear squirrels running or birds chirping
right.
or you know whatever the wildlife is. Like I want to be able to hear if there's a deer walking over there so that I can see it.
Right.
You know.
Well, and that's why when we're at camp, we only turn our music up so low because right. we do still want to hear things while we're talking. And that's usually only while we're setting up and maybe while we're sitting around a campfire. We don't listen to it all night long or whatever.
It's
it's just an added little perk, you know?
Yeah.
So, but music on the trail, like I said, if it's at a reasonable volume, and you're still being courteous to other hikers, I'm okay with it. There are people that I have read comments and posts on that they are absolutely anti-music.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, people have real strong feelings about it.
But it could be just because they've had those experiences where they could hear somebody's music a half mile away, yep. or they couldn't let their presence be known that they were coming up on them and asking to overtake when... They were listening to music. They just couldn't get around them or something. They were moving way slower than what they wanted to go. So,
well, and let me leapfrog onto that. So, not even just music, right? But let's say you and I are out there. I was saying before, we like to shoot the shit, but we're not a football field apart yelling to each other while we're talking.
Right.
You know,
right.
we reserve that conversation. So that we can have it at a reasonable volume that's not disturbing other people. And I think that goes to the heart of the music or the conversation or whatever. Have everything at a volume level that is not disturbing other people and is not disturbing nature.
Right.
That's the general rule. Quit disturbing nature.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Know? Like you don't want the squirrels to just run away because you're blasting music. I mean, squirrels are they're not afraid of much, but like, I mean, I would like to see a deer. I would like to see things that just are, they're doing their thing and I'm just walking in the woods, you know?
I mean,
like,
I want everybody to be out having a good time and stuff, but I want everybody to be having a good time in a respectful way and in a courteous way.
An environmentally friendly manner.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with that. That's, I believe we've said it before. Like, you do you, don't, you do you in a responsible manner to where you're not pissing other people off. If you want to listen to music on the trail, listen to music on the trail. Like, whatever. But, again,
I'm not trying to be that old man yucking somebody's yum. You know what I mean?
Like, get off my lawn!
Exactly. Like, go out and have a good time, but be mindful that you're not the only one out there. And even if you are the only one out there, there's still nature out there, right? Like, I mean...
Right. There's a lot of nature out there that you can't even see.
Yeah.
That is either hiding or whatever, or it's just so small that you can't see it and it's still going to get disturbed by something you're doing.
Yeah.
You step off the trail and crunch a leaf, that's disturbing nature.
Right.
So try to do that as little as possible. Is that the theme?
I think that's the theme, right? I mean, so that kind of gives you the idea with, like, noise. What else do we want to touch on Leave No Trace? I feel like we touch on Leave No Trace with, like, every episode we do, but...
Yeah. I mean, if you happen to be somebody that, like, I love my sunflower seeds.
Yep.
That's a thing where I've debated whether or not I should take sunflower seeds on the trail. I'm not a fan of the pre-shelled sunflower kernels. I, like a baseball player, whatever, I don't do the chew, I do the sunflower seeds. So I don't take them because I would have to take a cup to do a Leave No Trace, because even though they are biodegradable, they are natural. They are still not part of that trail system. They are not part of that environment, and you shouldn't leave that because the animals that feed on those sorts of things, maybe that's not good for them.
Right.
You know, for them to eat the husks of a sunflower.
I mean, I will say for sure, before you and I really started getting into this, I don't do sunflower seeds, but I was very much of the mindset of like, oh, this is biodegradable. It's all natural, whatever. Just chuck it out, you know,
just
whatever.
Chuck it
like,
and let it
whether it's
do
an
its
apple
thing.
Core or whether it's,
right.
You know, whatever the thing is, peanut shells or whatever. Like, yep. I was very much of a, oh, it's all natural. It's biodegradable. Just whatever. It's not a big deal. Well, it turns out when you start looking into it, I guess it is a big deal. If you're out in nature and you're throwing something into nature that is not from that part of nature.
Right. Well, I mean, just like my dog, dogs can't have chocolate. They can have little bits of chocolate, but it makes them sick. Like,
yeah.
So dog, I eat chocolate. My dogs don't get chocolate. Like,
right. Same concept.
It's kind
right.
of the same concept. Like, I don't know that squirrels can have sunflower seeds. I don't know that birds can. Birds, I'm pretty sure can. But like, you don't know what exact species or animal are in that area, and they could stumble upon it and then get sick or die just because you decided to spit sunflower seeds.
Well, and on top of that, I don't want to be walking through like ankle deep sunflower seed shells either.
Well,
let's be honest.
There's that too.
Like, well, I don't want to be walking through your trash just because you,
yeah.
Oh, it's biodegradable. Well, let me just leave it here in the middle of the trail.
Right. Well, and that goes along with like, we have walked through like not piles of, but we've seen cigarette butts on the trail.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And like, I know, like, I'm not a smoker. I used to be, but it pisses me off when people just leave that, especially that kind of garbage, because that does not deteriorate that well.
Yeah, that's real trash. Like, that's not even biodegradable trash. That's just, like, trash. Like, for sure, pack out your trash. Mm-hmm. I mean, pack out everything, I think is what we're saying, but 100% pack out your trash. You should know better. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. If you are a smoker on the trail, just... I don't know. Make sure
have
it's
a plan.
Out. have a plan. Make sure it's out and have a little case that you can put a spent cigarette butt in. Like, right. whatever. Do right. it. Do it right. And make sure that you are not leaving that crap behind.
You brought it in with you. Take it out.
Yep. Yeah. Take it out. Yep. Yeah. We don't want to see it.
Right.
So.
And I mean, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds with Leave No Trace, because we've talked about Leave No Trace. To death. But, like, I mean, just.
Pretty much as, comes up every episode.
As a trail etiquette reminder, Leave No Trace is kind of involved in trail etiquette. Like, I don't want to see a bunch of trash out there. I don't want to come across all your. I don't want to come across your toilet paper. I don't want to come across right. all your other stuff. Even if it is biodegradable, I still don't want your trash left out there. Take it out with you.
I really hope that the person that left it behind, but didn't we come across like a tank top or a bra or something?
What was that we came across? I think it was a tank. Was it a tank top or was it one of those like gators? I think it was a gator.
Oh, maybe it was one of those gators or something. Yeah. We found one of those on the trail, so I hope everything is okay. Because, like, clothing is, like, if you find clothing on the trail, then that's
I know.
Really not a good sign.
I know. That was kind of like, okay, what happened here? I'm hoping it just fell out of somebody's pocket or their backpack came unzipped.
Yeah.
I hope they're not still out there.
Right. Like, we walked past that. We didn't see any signs, didn't hear anything. So we're just like, that must have been an accident.
Yeah.
It was close to where we saw some bear droppings, but.
Which is not funny. I should not laugh, but.
Not funny, but it's like.
It was not a bloody gator, so.
Right. But yeah, so. I mean, I almost forgive clothing because clothing is like, that's 90% an accident. Like.
I would like to give humanity the benefit of the doubt and say most trash that you come across is. I would like to think that people are not doing it maliciously.
Okay.
Yeah, intentionally. Yep, you know, like.
Yeah.
Did you just not think? I mean, even to go back to your cigarette butts, right? Like, I don't want to see cigarette butts out on the trail either. I'm hoping maybe it was just like a reflex, you know, like people.
Right.
You're just in the habit of throwing your butt on the ground. So maybe you didn't even think about it and it just was like a habit thing and you're not doing it just because you
right.
don't care. I am asking people that are listening to this to think twice and to care.
Yeah.
But I would like to think people are not doing things on purpose to leave trash behind.
Right. 90% of people that are out in the woods like that are out there on purpose, right? I would hope 100% of people that are out that far are out there on purpose.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not. That's a whole other podcast that I listen to that are the one percenters that are not out there on purpose.
Yeah.
But if you're out there on purpose and you take something into the woods, not to harp on it, take it out of the woods.
I know. We harp on it every time it comes up.
I know.
You and I feel pretty passionately about it, but
yeah, almost as passionate as trekking poles.
Yeah, almost as passionate as trekking poles. Still to this day, I have not gotten a good answer on why people use them. So still waiting for somebody to write in about that for the record.
For the record, we are still waiting. And so I'm just assuming everybody else agrees.
Right.
That they're garbage. So.
What else? Do we have any other topics that you wanted to hit while we're talking about this? I don't know as though. I mean, that pretty much covers the notes that I had taken.
Yeah, that's. That's pretty much all I have. The only other thing I will say is like emergency preparedness. While you're on the trail with things like that, just make sure it's not necessarily etiquette, but it's have your safety or your first aid kit handy while you're on the trail. So you can quickly get your pack off or somebody can get to it without digging through a lot of stuff. And I guess it would be etiquette to where if somebody, you come across somebody injured on the trail and you have something that can help them, help them. Be a friendly hiker.
Yeah, there's a nice little PSA from Mike.
I'm not this way in regular public, but once I'm out on the trail, I'm pretty nice guy.
Yeah. 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 I mean, at the end of the day, be nice to your fellow hiker in every aspect. I think that's the overarching theme, right? Like, it's just be respectful to each other, be respectful to nature. If you approach everything on the trail with like just a little bit of respect for everything around you, I think that's a great way to start, and just like a great mindset to be in while you're out enjoying nature.
And if a Sean walks up to you at a campground with his tail between his legs and asks you to drive him 30 miles to his truck,
be a pal and
do it.
Drive me that 30 miles. Oh yeah, that one. I tell you, I don't fault the guy for saying no. I just don't.
100%.
I can't say it as though I would have said yes. It's a big ass.
That's the thing. I don't know if I would have been in the sober mindset to say yes. So there is that. Like, I'd be like, here's my keys, bring it back.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that's what I got. I will say, as always, you can reach us with questions, comments, or concerns at SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We're on all of the major socials at SeanMikeHike, except for Snapchat. And I'm gathering that Mike still has not signed us up for Snapchat. Nobody is asking for it, so whatever. Well, and then rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. That helps get the word out that we're making it, and it helps grow the audience. So appreciate all of you that are doing that. What else you got, Mike?
I am all set this week. I would say go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a hike. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks.